This morning I want to talk to you about the proper placement, the right placement, being where you ought to be. As a platform to jump off, to launch, I'm going to read a verse out of Acts chapter 17, because I want to come back to that verse at the end of the message as well. Let's read verse 26 and 27. And he, referring to God, has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. Blood's the same. There's not black blood and white blood and brown blood and yellow blood. It's blood. And has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. One of God's primary purposes for your life is proper placement. Now let me take the next 30, 40 minutes to explain proper placement. Being in the right place at the right time is an important key to discovering God's will for your life. In Genesis 1, God created Adam. In Genesis 2, God planted Adam in the proper place, a garden. Garden is not mentioned in chapter 1, but in chapter 2. What does this tell us about God and his will for your life? God doesn't leave you where he found you. God has a proper placement for you. He had a place prepared, a garden. Who did he want in that garden? Adam and his counterpart, Eve. So we could say that the owner of the first placement service in the world was God. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 12:18, God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. That can be any place in the world where there's a gathering of two or more Christian people. That may be God's place for them at that point in time. God comes to you right where you are and gives you a purpose, gives you a mission, and gives you a place. God gave Adam a woman. God gave Adam a woman. But he gave him a place of employment before he gave him a wife. He gave him a place of employment before he gave him a wife. And that should be a lesson to people today, that we shouldn't perhaps rush into marriage until there's a place of employment. Just think about it, okay? Proper placement profoundly affects your future in many ways. And I want to share a number of ways with you that the proper placement, where you are, how it affects your life and the outcome of your life. Number one, and I hope you'll take notes, it releases supernatural provision. It releases supernatural provision. In 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 3, describes supernatural provision for the prophet. Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Now, I want you to keep in mind this morning the word there, T-H-E-R-E, how it appears and appears and appears and appears, there, 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 there. It's a reoccurring word in each one of these. I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. There is where? There is by the brook Cherith. During a famine, God gave Elijah clear instruction, saying, in effect, go to Cherith. I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. God told Elijah that if he moved to the right place, supernatural provision would show up. You mean ravens? Supernatural provision? Yes. Divine supply follows divine placement. You go to this place and your need will be supplied. Just that simple. If Elijah had been any other place but the right place, the ravens would not have fed him. God holds your place of supernatural provision. God has a there for you. He has a there for Elijah. There, his needs will be met. Well, just about the time that Elijah had God figured out, suddenly the brook dries up. And the raven stopped bringing food. And there might be a sermon title there, if you think about it. What to do when the brook goes dry and the birds won't fly? The only reason that God lets the brook dry up is because he wants to drive you back to your source. You see, we are to seek God's face, not his hand. We want a handout. God wants a face-off with us. Don't fall in love with the method and forget that God is your source. The brook wasn't Elijah's source. God was his source. We get married to a method, anchored to a memory, but we must be open to change. When the Holy Spirit wants to do a new thing, we have to get away from the old wineskins. Remember Jesus taught about that? You don't put new wine in old wineskins. They have lost their elasticity. They can't expand anymore. You have to get new wineskins. In this case, God gave Elijah a new plan. Now, it sounds similar to the other plan, but it's not. It's a different plan. Go to Zarephath. I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So when he went to Cherith, he commanded the ravens to supply for him. Now he's to go to Zarephath. I've commanded a widow to provide for you. Interesting, isn't it? Discern the place of blessing for your life. If God says, I will bless you there, if I will meet your need there, and you insist on staying here, you're not going to be blessed. You're going to miss his provision. God said, you go to Zarephath and I will meet your need through a widow. But if he had gone to Jerusalem, no promise from God, no supply of his need. His need was going to be met there where God told him to go. Everything was dependent upon Elisha being in the right location. When Ruth, go to the book of Ruth, was looking for provision, in other words, looking for grain, she expressed her desire to her mother-in-law, Naomi. In Ruth chapter 2, verse 2, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. At this point, she didn't know whose field. She didn't know who owned the field. She wanted to go look for a field that she could glean in so that she and Naomi might have bread to eat. You don't want to work just in any field. Pray for discernment that will lead you into an occupational field where you will find favor with your employer. The place God has for you will be a place of influence and favor and prosperity. I don't mean that you'll get rich, but the idea of prosperity is that you will be blessed and you will know that you're blessed. And you're thankful for the blessing. Sometimes the place God sends you to won't appear to be a place of blessing. And you may wonder, well, why? Why did this happen? Why did this door open? Why am I here? Preachers do that quite often. When Ruth found the right field in which to work, she labored only in a corner of the field, it says, a remote corner of the field. Later, she was promoted from working in that insignificant corner to owning the whole field because she married. But her promotion was contingent upon finding the right place to glean, the right place of her employment, that she and Naomi might have to eat. Are you in the right place? Are you in the right place? Or are you just leaning on an old plow, afraid to let go? We often quote 2 Chronicles 7:14, but 2 Chronicles 7:12, God said, I have heard your prayer, have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice, referring to the temple, what we call Solomon's temple. Oh, the potential of a chosen place. If you are in such a place, don't leave it. If you are not, don't stay any longer than possible. In Exodus 33:21, God says, "Here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock." There is a place reserved for you by God. And you say, "Do you think God cares that much about me? That he cares where I live, that he cares where I work, that he cares who I marry?" Yes. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. God has a place for you. And if you will move there, God will supernaturally provide all that you need to do his will. Number two, this right place of provision provides a place of protection. A wrong place is any place where you know your Christian walk is compromised. When you stay out of the wrong places, you protect your integrity. Any place that Christ himself would not go is the wrong environment. A good rule to follow is, if Christ wouldn't, you shouldn't. If Christ wouldn't, you shouldn't. In the cool of the day, Genesis 2 tells us that Adam and Eve would walk with God in the Garden of Eden. Somewhere about sundown, maybe the sun has gone down, but the sky is glowing, and God and Adam and Eve meet and have fellowship. They would talk with God. When they were together, Satan never showed up. He approached Eve when she was absent from God's presence. Think of that. That's when Satan showed up. As long as Peter stayed near Jesus' side, he was strong in the faith. But when he was alone, when he was absent from the presence of Jesus, he warmed his hands by the wrong fire and denied Christ 3 times that night. There is protection in his presence. Don't stray too far from the body of Christ, which is the church. Hang with the church. Hang with a faithful body of believers. You need them, and God uses them to help protect us and keep us moving in the right direction. We separate from the body. We separate from that influence. We become an easy prey for the enemy. The right place provides protection. Number three, it demands death to pride. It demands death to pride. Proper placement demands the death of pride. This is a tough one. Pride is one of the main obstacles blocking your move to the right place. When we are puffed up with pride, we say things like, it's not going to work here, or I'm not going to fit in there, or I don't like the way that place looks, I'm better than they are, so on, so on, so on. That's pride resisting the leadership of God's Spirit. Elijah was a great man of God, and perhaps a mighty man. We're not told about his size or his strength like we are Samson. But perhaps he was quite strong, and I say that because the scripture tells us that he killed 400 prophets of Baal. And called down fire from heaven. But in 1 Kings, God instructed him to seek help at the home of a widow. I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Notice the word there. I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. He could have said, I'm not going to lower myself to ask help from a woman. But he didn't allow his pride to keep him from the right place. He went where God said, a widow will provide for you. And if that meant lowering himself, then swallow your pride and obey God. We often find that proper placement, being in the right place, demands the death of personal pride to be obedient to God's leading. Number four. It is often preceded by a season of discomfort. It is often preceded by a season of discomfort. The reason is simple. Until your misery factor exceeds your fear factor, you won't change. Why? Because we value security. We know what we've got a hold of here, but if we go over here, we don't know. We have trouble leaving the secure, even though we're not happy, even though we're not satisfied, and the door seems to be opening over here, but we don't see any security. We prize our security. You know the story of how a mother eagle, when she wants her eaglets to learn to fly, she begins to tear up the nest that she has built over a long period of time. She removes the animal fur to expose the briars and the thorns that compose the basic structure of the nest. And she's made it comfortable by covering the inside with feathers and with fur and so forth, so that the eaglets are born into a situation of comfort. But when it's time for them to fly the nest, so to speak, she removes the animal fur and the feathers and the soft comfort. She removes that. And so the eaglets are exposed to the thorns and the briars, and it pricks them, and it's uncomfortable. Suddenly the nest is not a comfortable place to be anymore. And so the eaglets are forced by discomfort to stretch their wings and learn to fly. And they may fall out of the nest, but you know what? The mother eagle is going to swoop down and pick them up. She's going to catch them. They may do it over and over until that eaglet learns to fly, learns that he can fly. He's an eagle. What made him get out of the nest? Discomfort, pain, seeking something that's better. You'll never learn to fly if you're too comfortable. You'll never change that which you are willing to tolerate. God has a way of making us, literally forcing us, to move out. And it's called discomfort. Number 5, right placement releases the glory of God. This is an interesting point. Let me see where I want to go here. Exodus chapter 31. In Exodus chapter 31, we see an illustration of the proper placement releasing the glory of God on your life. In the book of Exodus, God told Moses how to construct the tabernacle. And that's what much of the book of Exodus is about, after chapter 20. And he says this, I have put wisdom in the hearts of all who are gifted artisans, that they may make all that I have commanded you. The tabernacle of meeting, the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, the table and its utensils, the pure gold lampstand with all of its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the laver and its base, the garments, what the priests were to wear, the garments, the holy garments of Aaron and the priests, and the garments of his sons to minister as priests, and the anointing oil, the oil and the incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded, they shall do. God gave the dimensions, God gave the colors, God gave the furniture placement, even the garments that were to be worn by the priests who ministered in the tabernacle. And they did exactly what God said, and the results were spectacular. In Exodus chapter 40 and verse 34, it says, then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. When they did according to the word of God, they made what God said, they made it like God said, they put it where God said to put it, and when it was done, it was spectacular, and the glory of God, the cloud that followed them, came upon the tabernacle. God's glory. And in 2 Chronicles, when Solomon had completed a more permanent temple, and all the work had been done, and all the furniture had been properly placed, the scripture says, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The glory of the Lord filled the temple. That's the same. Well, we put new ones in this morning. I don't know what's happened. I'll have to continue. The same phrase that took place at the tabernacle when it was finished is repeated again when the temple is finished. The glory of God filled the temple. The right place, the right location, the right job released the glory of God upon their lives. Number 6, proper placement prevents exposure to sinful situations and temptations. Let me say that again. Proper placement prevents exposure to sinful situations and temptations. In other words, if you will be where you ought to be, you will be protected many times from temptation. Why are we tempted? Because we're in the wrong place. We're doing something we shouldn't be doing. We're in a spot that we shouldn't be in. If you will listen to God's voice and get in the right place, God's glory will be your reward. Failing to do so may subject you to sinful situations and temptations that you're not ready to handle yet. The first words God spoke to Adam after he sinned referred to Adam's location. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him in Genesis 3:9, "Where are you? Where are you, Adam?" Adam's sin drove him out of the place, the garden, that was specifically prepared for him. Lot was a nephew of Abraham, but he left his uncle and moved into Sodom. What was he doing living in Sodom? Lot saw an opportunity to get rich, but he eventually lost his wife in the process because he wasn't where he was supposed to be. Where was he supposed to be? He was supposed to be staying near his godly uncle Abraham. And when he left Abraham, he went into another place. He went into Sodom. And he was exposed to temptations that he was not prepared to deal with. Not only did he lose his wife, but in a moral and spiritual sense, he lost his daughters as well, because of the incest that was committed. The right place will help us avoid temptation and exposures to sin. And one other, number 7. It can help you avoid future problems. It can help you avoid future problems. Living within the proper placement of God can make all the difference between a life of blessing and a life of sorrow. If you live in the right city, go to the right church, find the right job, hang out with the right people, marry the right spouse, many potential problems will be averted. Do you understand how that works? Let me say that again. If you live in the right city, go to the right church, find the right job, hang out with the right people, marry the right spouse, many, many potential problems will not happen. How do you discover the right place? That's what we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks, really. How do you discover the right place? Repent, pray, and expect divine guidance. Repent. Stop doing your own thing. Stop doing your own thing. Psalm 92, verse 13 says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Don't be a tumbleweed Christian, fruitless and rootless, blowing in and out of churches. Get rooted. Get grounded in the right church. Now, let me say as a sidebar, this obviously is not the right church for everybody. This is not the right church for everybody. But this is the right church for you. God has other places besides Terre Haute Bible Center. You understand that, don't you? But God wants you to get fixed in and rooted in and not hip-hopping, church-hopping, back and forth, up and down. He wants you planted and grounded and solid. That's where you ought to be. That's where you ought to be. The prodigal son finally came to his senses and realized that he was in the wrong place. He was in the pig pen. When he said, I will arise and go to my father. See, it all went downhill when he left his father, when he left the place, and he went to the far country. He went there. He went there. He was saying, in effect, I'm leaving the wrong place and I'm going back to the right place. There was a right place. Repent. Stop doing your own thing. Two, pray for God's timing and God's place. We're not asking for something that God doesn't know. The scripture that we read in Acts chapter 26, God has a place for all nations. Why is the map of the world laid out like it's laid out? Because God laid it out. God put this group of people here, and God put that group of people, and that group of people, and that group of people all over the world. God has a right place. Well, if he has a right place for nations, he's got a right place for Christians. He's got a right place for churches. So we're not asking God for something that God doesn't know, because God has done that from the beginning of creation. He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings. And here's how to interpret that. If God has a place for a nation, God has a place for a family. God has a place for you as an individual. Right placement. Pray for God's timing and God's place. And thirdly, expect divine guidance. Expect divine guidance. Missing God's will has severe consequences for any of us, all of us. It is my belief that you are safer fighting in a war within the will of God than you are a day at the beach out of the will of God. Think that through. It has been said that if God closes one door, he will open another. Is that in the movie Wonderful Life? It's in some movie, some old movie. God closes one door, he'll open another door. It's true, but you don't want to hang out very long in the hallway. When God closes one door and you're standing in the hallway waiting for the next door to open, yearn, hunger for his divine guidance. And we emphasized that last week about prevailing prayer, praying with tenacity, praying with commitment, praying with earnestness. It's not the lay me down to sleeps type of praying. You earnestly want the will of God. You earnestly want God's door to open for your life. You earnestly want the favor to walk in the favor of God in your life. And the voice of discernment God has placed within you will lead you to the right places where you can make those connections. The right people, the right place, the right time. We have a saying sometimes that so-and-so lives a charmed life. You've heard it? So-and-so has lived a charmed life. I wonder if that many times is not simply the fact that that person, that family, though they've had their heartaches, though they've had their ups and downs, they've lived in the will of God, and God has provided not only financially, but he's provided the wisdom, he's provided the strength, he's provided the right people in their lives at the right time. He's opened the right doors at the right time. God does that. Learn to listen. Learn to listen to that inner voice of discernment in order to release supernatural provision in your life and in the lives of those that you meet. God has an assignment for you. You say, I'm too old. Of course, I know I'm the oldest one in here. If Virginia were here, she would be the oldest, okay? But God still has an assignment. God still has work for me to do. I may do less, may not be able to do as much, but I can do something. As the old saying is, what I can do, I ought to do, so I will do. That's a path of blessing. That's a path of provision. That's a path of God's favor. It's not because of who you are. It's because you've done the right things. You've walked in the right path. There's someone out there who's living in the dark night of the soul. You've heard that expression. They're counting on you and me to be sensitive enough to God's leading, that we will be under the direction of God. And at the right time, when God brings that individual, you or me, God brings that individual into the life of a person with need. We will be prepared with the light to bring light into that dark soul, into that dark life. So it's not all about us. It's not all about me. It's not all about you. It's about what we become in order to minister to others. You want your light to be on. You want to be in the right place at the right time, because God will have somebody there for you to minister to and bless with your life, with your counsel, with your means. But we have to be in the right place. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of sharing these ideas this morning. And pray, Lord, for the soil upon which the seed has fallen today, that the soil may receive, and that the seed, Father, will be find root and grow in our lives, so that we will have to give to others out of what you have given to us, by way of living, by way of counsel, by way of example. Put us, O God, in the right place where we're in your will, and we can touch and bless the lives of others. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen and amen.